are talking with Rex, a guy who has done such a great job of investigative journalism, not only putting together the pieces, but putting together the visual puzzle, trying to figure out what really happened on the 11th of December 2013 with the plane crash of Loretta Fuddy, the gatekeeper of the Obama birth certificate.
And you may want to ask yourself, who the hell is in the White House?
Absolutely. Rex was on yesterday. This is part two of the two-part series. And he is an aviation and computer company executive, aviation expert and computer company executive, that has spent years with these investigative findings and has put together the report as well as the visualization. Folks, go to YouTube, our YouTube channel, if you want the full broadcast effect with the images and evidence there. Rex, I'm going to turn it right over to you. You were talking about the differences in the propellers and the paint differences.
Where do we go from there? We saw that those propellers on the two different engines, the one underwater versus the one on the barge, could not be the same. That is, they were different engines and different propellers. We saw that the saw cuts on the engine that was brought up could not have been the separation that was done on the ocean floor. That is, the ocean floor cannot make saw cuts. And yet we saw earlier evidence that there were probably some kind of cuts or some men working on the engine some 50 minutes, 45 minutes after the airplane had crashed. And as we saw, the engine was rising up out of the water, or the entire airplane was rising up out of the water as we saw these figures and man-made devices at the crash site. Now, curiously, if one is cutting an engine off of an airframe, that's precisely what would happen, as the weight of that engine would be removed from the airplane. Its buoyancy would seem to increase. That is, it wouldn't have the weight, as much weight, pulling it down. So that would be a confirmation of the evidence as we've seen. Now, I mentioned about this NTSB report. It would be just beyond the pale for anyone without a tremendously weighty reason, we'll say, would take on a risk of career and jail time falsifying evidence in a crash investigation that tallies so many man years. And these things are vetted, of course. That is, they don't escape the NTSB without being read by, we'll say, all the team members, certainly by the investigator in charge, and all of the board, that is the NTSB board, the top guys and gals, of course. They are distributed, these reports, before they go out, and they must be accepted before they are. So this is one of the most vetted things that could have ever been out there. Now, curiously, I've requested a lot of information about some of these documents that would have been vetted and their control of who was looking at this or that. But curiously, I haven't been given that, even though the time of the FOIA request is long expired. So I know they know me. I mean, I've spoken to two of the guys on this NTSB team. And I seem to have been deemed at one time, at least, to have valuable information. So that's a hurdle by itself that one doesn't usually get through. But in any event, I was hopeful that you would answer and say how much time we have left, because that would help me gauge where I should go.
We are going to give you the rest of the show, as long as you take it to the end, because, folks, I can't think of any. Look, right now we got riots going on in Charlotte. We got all kinds of stuff taking place. But when it comes right down to it, the importance of understanding how we've been gamed and who is in the White House, who has run defense or, you know, run the interference for the guy in the White House. The complexity of all of this will be clear. I mean, the weight of all this will be clear as Rex summarizes this. So just let's plow through this, man. Let's just plow through it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. We've already established that the participants of this exercise or this hoax have at many junctures not told the truth. And I would just go to one particular person and just show how this is more than a pattern. It's not just a mistaken idea or misremembering this or that. It's a very creative telling of untruths. And in this case, one of the passengers said that he swam to shore, and he did indeed swim to shore, but he conjectured, even though he didn't have a watch, that it took about 90 minutes to do that. And in various media reports, it's represented as either a mile or a mile and a half. So that's pretty creative, especially when we know the airplane was 260 yards out from shore, and we have on video the place from which he took off and went to shore, and we've been able to time the distance from that, that is from his start, which was maybe 200 yards from shore, and how long it took him to get to shore, and we see him walking the last little several, maybe 30, 40, 50 yards onto shore. And we know that time, if the NTSB imagery is at all correct, which we can accept within certain bounds, but it appears that that swim took all of 6 minutes, and yet he somehow has aggrandized that into 90 minutes. Now, he arrived on shore actually about, I think it's 53 minutes after the plane crashed. So those time stamps are known, just absolutely. So even if he had started the moment the aircraft had crashed onto the water, we know by reports who say the gentleman has arrived on shore from a swim, that was like 53 minutes apart. So he's really and wildly exaggerated what happened. And we see what he says. He has a report to the NTSB investigator in charge, and we see that that is also wound up in falsehoods as well. We saw that when he left the scenario, that is when he began his swim, he was really among all the other people, and he had been with those people for, we'll say, 45 minutes or so. With them at the plane and with them as they move toward the southwest. And we know from various time-stamped reports how long all of that really took, even though it was condensed in the NTSB video to be about 10 or 12 minutes. In any event, the time frame there began, that is, his swim to shore began from those 200 yards out, just about the time that the Fuddy replacement had taken place. That is, Fuddy, we see replaced. He swims 15 yards or so, takes a look, is looking right at the replacement from 5 yards away, and then begins his swim to shore. That's just all very creative, and it has no resemblance to the truth. And yet, maybe the fact that the Army, the guy is an Army Green Beret who would be very acquainted with such things as disinformation and psyops. Maybe that has something to do with why he chose to aggrandize these things. He also made other statements and claimed the event occurred, for example, at 3:30, when we know better. He said the pilot exited out his door and swam around. But the pilot says very clearly that he came through the cabin on his way out and made sure no one was there. Oh, but perhaps they're dueling errors, perhaps. But in any event, the what this Green Beret guy says does not comport with any other evidence to be found. And he says, for example, that the pilot who was in that Grumman aircraft up above homed in on the ELT, that is the crash beacon that that would have sounded when the airplane hit the water. But in fact, that pilot did not have equipment on board to home in on any ELT. It's a very nebulous signal that cannot be so localized to a particular place. So he was making that up. Homing in on an ELT is not something that pilot had the equipment to do. Could not have done it. So he was just making it up. And he said as well that he opened the life jacket for this older couple. That is, I think one or the other was first, maybe the man, the older gentleman. He said that he was having trouble opening that plastic package that held his life jacket. And he conveniently, before he got out of the aircraft, opened it from that package and put it on the gentleman and pulled just one side of the life jacket because he thought that would be sufficient. Well, we see that guy getting out of the aircraft, and he does not have a life jacket on. So, that's interesting. And we see his wife, of whom he also says she was also having difficulty pulling out the life jacket from its case. And he helped her in the same way and pulled just one of those tabs for her life jacket. Well, we see her shortly at the wing, and she doesn't have any life jacket on. So these are all just made-up things. And this, in such a concerted 100-instance case, just has to be called disinformation by people who know what they're doing. And there's just no other way these kinds of things could have happened. That is, you can make one mistake or two or misremember three or four, but we're into the 100-plus, and it's just such a pattern that it's amazing. He also said that Ms. Fuddy appeared to be fine when he left. Well, as I said, he was looking right at his Ms. Fuddy's replacement, who was some kind of tall, spindly diver with a different kind of life jacket than Miss Fuddy had on, when he left. So, anyway, it can't have happened the way this person said. And we see this kind of thing elsewhere again and again as well. Many of the people in the scenario say how the winds and the white caps and all of this prevented the people from being able to stay together. Well, that complaint somehow didn't keep the people from being separated for over 45, 50 minutes. They stayed not only together within 15 yards, but they stayed together within the field of view of the cameras. And that's just, as you might picture it, a kind of a triangular slice of horizontal space that is a very tight confine. And to say that, as they do, the claim is that early on, even 25 minutes after the plane's ditching, and as the plane somehow made some kind of sinking event, they all got separate. Well, we see them 25 minutes or more later, all within this narrow pie slice. So we know that their statements about these things are in concert and wrong. And it seems, well, there's a frame. Let me find which one it was. Yes, an I-70. Perhaps you can pull that one up. The interviews by police are almost verbatim. Now, maybe they were standing next to each other and they heard the other one saying it and so forth. But nonetheless, these are interviews of three different people, and they're using almost verbatim the very same words, and they all are wrong. They are clearly and demonstrably wrong.
Rex,
amazing.
I just want to emphasize this as an investigator. If you get if you've got a witness pool and you talk to witnesses, if you talk to three different witnesses and you have uniformity of their statement, it's always indicative of the statement being scripted, because you're always going to have a variation of the verbiage or even the angular. It's going to be different. This, in this case, I've never seen the uniformity of statements like this. I mean, yeah, in any real setting where it's not scripted.
Yep. We can look at some omissions that show other untruths. If we look at I-81, image 81, we see a number of things that are uniform among all the passenger representations. Some represent some things to have happened that we know didn't happen, and they represent things that we know did happen that nobody's talking about. No one's talking about seeing any military equipment. No one's talking about seeing military trained divers or any kind of divers. No one's talking about seeing a red-haired mannequin when we know that Army Green Beret guy was within 5 yards of a red-haired, red-wigged, I should say, replacement. The mannequin we haven't really talked about yet. We probably could get to that. But other mentions, like of running aground, no one anywhere mentioned it. No one mentioned the ability to stand, though we have images of, I'd say, easily a dozen people who appear to be clearly standing. So all of that's pretty anomalous. And again, as you say, the uniformity of that just makes this mind-boggling. We can look at I-83, and we see that various agencies apparently are compromised in various ways. We've made requests, FOIA requests, and the documentation that we had asked for is either missing, altered, recopied, excised, redacted, all things that should never have happened. We know there are very strict procedures that the Coast Guard goes through, very strict protocols for what to do when you come upon a person in the water and so forth. Well, there's just very many anomalies between what these people have done and what the protocols say to do. And we don't have a lot of the reports, say, for example, the swimmer reports. We know those people are required to keep logs and say what they did with person so-and-so and the next person and so on. Somehow we didn't get those when we made the very clear FOIA requests for them. So these are, you know, official misdeeds, I'll call them, by people at the gatekeepers, I call them, in the Coast Guard and elsewhere. Frankly, and it's really kind of convenient in a certain way, even as wonderful as the FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, was to provide to the citizenry all this information and have available to them all kinds of government records, unless there's a very clear reason, like classified information or whatever, the citizenry should have access to them. But it's not supposed to be altered, recopied, changed in various ways and so forth. But that's exactly what we see. And it's somehow made very convenient when there's a localized single person through whom these things can be forced. That is, the guy in charge of U.S. Coast Guard FOIAs, or similarly about the Navy or other agencies as well. That is, these FOIA requests can be reviewed by just a few people, such that if they don't want to give somebody information, they don't do that. And we heard fairly early on that Butter Dezillion's requests were all being routed through the headquarters. And that was just a, you know, kind of a red flag for those folks hearing that kind of a thing. That is, normally these FOIA requests are handled by various offices throughout the country by whoever, whatever group to which they were attached.
Right.
But that, you know, somehow, as we know, frankly, from a lot of internet detritus, if you will, evidence of people talking, that Butter Dezillion has made a name for herself in many quarters. Moving yeah. on to that lower frame, the Maui County Fire Department and Police Departments, We see records being kept in obviously false manner and jumbled excise log. I remember Butter talked to Doug about that on one of her previous occasions. That is, we got the time-stamped log, the day file, second by second, of all kinds of activities. But what we got from the Maui County Fire Department was chopped off. It was reorganized, and anyone, a third grader, could see that. And yet they chose to reaffirm that there was no such cutting up and there was no such reordering. There was, among one of the official observers of the police department, he wrote up his report and said that this entire activity happened on the east side of Kalaupapa, and that the plane and the occupants drifted further east. Well, you know, maybe you have somebody who can't tell east from west. So we did indeed appeal that and ask if maybe that kind of mistake might have been made. But no, it was reaffirmed to be correct. And it's just obviously false.
Yeah,
it's
how does
belied
that even
by
happen?
All the visual evidence and the audacity that someone would not take the opportunity on appeal to fix something, you know, basically prove that they're not innocently overlooking something. But this begins to be a pattern of the weighty pressure, the weighty something that we can't quite see, that would cause people to continue in something that's obviously false. Why would they do things like this? Why would they not wear the white hat when they could? So there's things like that. They're just very disconcerting.
All right.
If we move ahead to the next frame, 84, we see things like this happening elsewhere. The Federal Aviation Administration. We know that records such as these were required to be kept for 5 years. And they have been destroyed. And it's confirmed that they were destroyed, and saying that they were justifiably destroyed, when we know that there are at least four reasons that they should not have been destroyed. And I have the letter from literally an assistant administrator of the FAA who wrote what is clearly faulty logic and false justification, as if it were justified. And that's just beyond the pale. But yet again, it's evidence that people are willing to do things that are very much not in accordance with policy and make this kind of representation to the citizenry through FOIA. And that's
so
scary, let me tell you.
Yep.
That is,
yep.
These people feel they can get away with this. And yep. It's yet to be seen whether they do. I mean, I've brought this information to numerous places in government, and I've yet to find good friction, traction.
Right.
And, you know, one has to ask why that would be. Isn't there anyone that wears a white hat anymore? Is this a pattern of corruption that will not stop?
We're going to make a call out here right now to anyone in government or anyone who gives a damn to make this known, because this, as an investigator, if someone came to me and said, look, I've got the evidence, here it is, and they lay it out right in front of you, all of the work is done, all of the requests have been submitted, all of the paperwork has been received, the analysis of the video has been done, and there's lies upon lies upon lies, and here they are, numbered one through, in a visual format like this, and no one is going to run with this? Come on. Somebody out there. Thank you, Rex. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I have to be clear as well that I would be remiss in my responsibilities if I didn't vet this information with people who know even better than I might. people who've done crash investigations. I have an acquaintance who's a retired NTSB investigator in charge. And let me tell you, that's a well-respected person who everyone in my sector of aviation, metaphoric sense, would bow down to. But I presented this there, and it looked all correct to him, as best I could say. I've presented it to current FAA investigators, people who have done this day in and day out for years and decades, and affirmation. Also, at the same time, saying, don't use my name. Sure. But, you know, that was a non-official review. But that's the kind of vetting, and I've done that elsewhere with other aviation professionals also, people who fly jets all the time, own companies that do this kind of thing. And let me tell you, it's always been thumbs up, good work, that's right.
Okay, Rex, hold that right there. When we come back for the final segment here, I really want you to lay out what in the world happened here, who's responsible, to what end. Because this is where the rubber meets the road. I was fascinated by this. I didn't want to believe it. And looking at the totality of evidence, I now believe it. And it's hard. It's a hard pill, bitter pill to swallow. We're talking with Rex, aviation computer expert. Done just a tremendous job with this. With this investigation. We're going to be right back. Stay right there. Folks, just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started out from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. Yes, the mate, he was a mighty sailing man. The skipper was brave and sure. Yeah, should I continue? I think not. You get the idea.
Yeah, before we get into this hour, if I may ask Rex a question.
Yes.
From a guest and listener, John. He asked, why would the powers that be go to such elaborate lengths to pull such a technically military complicated hoax? If they wanted Fuddy dead, why not Breitbart the whole plane in deep water?
My question exactly. My question too. Rex, why bother?
It's not a bother at all. This is audacity at work. This is seeing how much we can get away with. The more audacious, the better. And, for example, we have Fuddy being replaced by this diver, spindly diver. He has a red wig. Why do that? The only one that cares is the camera. There is absolutely no other person around for whom that matters other than the camera. The camera has foreknowledge that this was going to happen. The videographer is placed there by the planners of this event. They didn't want Fuddy dead. Have we not heard that we treat our friends one way and we treat our adversaries another? This was clearly not an adversary to these powers that be. This was a friend. And as a result of this, there were lawsuits filed and there were payouts that were very satisfactory to the plaintiffs. And yet we know she didn't die, at least in the way that this is represented. She exited that scenario alive, just like the guy who was watching, that Army Green Beret, said. We saw him, and we knew she was already gone. So there's absolutely no reason to think, at least within the confines of this scenario, that anything other than the careful watching over of Fuddy by military-trained divers happened here. And so all of these other things, for example, videographing all of this information, all of this scenario, is an audacious attempt to see how much we can get away with. The audacity of saying that the airplane was separated by a winter storm, that all that wreckage and the engine was thrown off by rolling around repeatedly on the floor of the engine, or on the ocean floor, that's nothing but audacity. Mm-hmm. Outrageousness to see if we can get away with it, if we can clamp down the FOIA requests, if we can keep people in the realm of conjecture and so-called Breitbarting and all of this. That's what they want. That's what they want to be able to do. So this is kind of a thermometer, a temperature check on what they can do. And if the elites can do the more audacious things, they want to. This was the thing of the 1967 memo within the CIA about declaring the term conspiracy theorist or theories pejorative. That is, it's, you know, how in the world would you want to advantage, say you're a policeman, how is it you would want to advantage a conspiracy, say a criminal conspiracy, and say that somehow we're going to be laughed out of court, we're going to be laughed out of investigation just because it's a conspiracy? Well, no, I'm afraid not. If we want to find a criminal, we want to find all the more those criminals who might be conspiring together. But somehow the government puts out this idea that they want to make a pejorative, they deprecate the term conspiracy theorist, which does nothing but advantage anyone who's involved in a conspiracy. Now, who would be involved in conspiracies? Well, let me tell you, to get anything done in a government requires a conspiracy. And we see so much conspiracy here, it's just not funny. But I'm not a conspiracy theorist in a pejorative way. They might have tried to make that a pejorative, but these are facts. This is copious evidence. There are mounds of evidence. There is irrefutable video fact that just cannot be overcome by somebody saying, "Oh, she was bright-parted, she was killed, she was whatever, and you're just a wacko." That's just not where we are with this. Partners and people like myself would not do that kind of thing. We would only dare come forth after years of painstaking research, despite all of the gauntlet things that have been thrown in our path.
And I appreciate that. And I just want to say to the people listening and the people watching this, when I asked you the very same question, and you gave us the same answer, but you also said something else. You said, "Doug, you're assuming that they wanted her dead." And that what makes you assume that? You know, you ask me, and that's right. I mean, we have to stop the assumptions and just work off the evidence. And you set me straight on that, because maybe they didn't want her dead. You just pile a whole bunch of evidence here, and I term it as evidence.
This is a person who's done them major favors. I mean, the head of our government was the one who said, "The only people who don't want to disclose the truth are those people who have something to hide." Well, there are all kinds of things that people have wanted to know. Truth that's been kept hidden. Millions and millions of dollars have been spent to keep him hidden. By his own words, he has something to hide.
Amen, brother. That's all right. All right. We've got about, 15 minutes left here. There's so much here, folks. Rex has been kind enough to share with us the fruits of his labors, him and his colleague, Butter D. Zillion, and this is, they're using, I'm not telling you Rex's last name because, we know who he is, and there's an element of danger here. You've been threatened, too. I just want to let people know you've been threatened, and some of the threats have been acted upon. You just want to get into that at all, or do you want to stay away from that?
I don't see much benefit to that.
Okay.
I appreciated the food taster kind of thing, but no. Actually, I feel fortunate and blessed that even though certain threats might have been made to me, and I think they were frankly pretty clear, but I don't feel that they've been acted upon necessarily, other than perhaps in a small way. Mm-hmm. My colleague, however, has suffered greatly, and I think that's one of my biggest motivations here. That is, I cannot let a corrupt government conspiracy hurt my friends this way. And that's very clearly happened here. And I hope there's some fear of some justice left in this little world, and even in government, because
you've also been taken to task by the conservatives, people who are supposed to be your friends. You've been taken to task by them too.
Ostensibly conservatives, perhaps. I know the characteristics of a conservative, someone who is indeed very interested in the law and very interested in making sure that corruption doesn't win the day. And I feel the attacks, many of the attacks that have come my way, those have come from people not in the scenario, and that's also happened. But the people outside the scenario, I can pretty quickly tell the difference between people who are interested in so-called truth, justice, and the American way, as opposed to those people who are looking to throw out disinformation, looking to trash reputations, looking to drag the whole conversation down by references to Hitler and comparable things. All of that pretty quickly falls into a couple of different camps. But I really want to see this rectified, and it needs to be done, so I'm happy to be part of that. If the dark forces win the day, hopefully I will have inspired other people, at least in some corners, to do painstaking, honest, truthful, truth-oriented, justice-oriented research, and to not fearfully come forward when it's completed. And that's where we are.
Okay, Rex, you want to stay below the radar. That's why you don't have a social networking site. You don't have a website. You've got this investigative work product. You're not in this for anything except the truth. How can people contact you if they want to help you or whatever?
Yeah, I've set up an email address that I'm happy to receive email to, and that's the front part of that is the Fuddy Hoax. THEFUDDYHOAX, and it's at unseen.is, UNSEEN.is. And right. I'm happy to receive email there to the degree I'm able. I will respond, and I really welcome that kind of input. If you want to threaten me, go ahead and stay home. I prefer not. I'm not into this just to receive more gauntlets and cudgels. If someone wants honestly to know the truth, well, let's see if we can't get this done together.
Amen. So, I have to say this as well. The product that you've provided here, and folks, please go through this again. Understand what you're seeing. Understand what Rex has offered. There's much more to this as well. I mean, we could go on for another 12 hours and present additional evidence. You've just seen the cut of this, a slice of this. But you know, this is very well done. So contextualize this, please. Here we are, 2016. This happened 3 years ago. To what end? To what end? The larger picture.
Well, I think the larger picture is something you go back to the Magna Carta for. You have the divine right of kings, people who would be tyrants if they were let loose. They don't like things like the Magna Carta. King John certainly didn't. We had religious leaders like Archbishop of Canterbury to try to mediate something good out of that. They came up with such a document that was unheard of on the scene before that, and yet it took many wars and hundreds of years before most of the benefits of that were perfected. And one of the perfecting activities was indeed the U.S. Constitution, where not divine right of kings, but consent of the governed is the desire for authentic government. And they put forth, those founders did, such a wondrous document that we see and have seen, frankly, over hundreds of years, people trying to take apart. And there have been various approaches to that. And some people have come up with rules that people can follow to be disruptors and to spearhead certain activities that seem to detract from that, that would be met with reactive things from government that would disruptively wobble out of control, if you will. And they've exploited such things, and it just happens again and again. I happen to think the U.S. Constitution is a wonderful thing. When I was in eighth grade, I spent a lot of my time learning all about it and revering all of the things that went into it. I see that being taken away less and less, such that the current public school kid, eighth grade or wherever they do that, hears a whole lot less than I did about that. And I bemoan that, I worry about that, and I see that that basically changes the way people view things, and it's very saddening. I hearten when I hear the idea, and not because Trump said it, but to make America great again vis-a-vis or within the context of the Constitution is precisely the kind of thing that needs to go in that direction. That is, we want that kind of thing, and no one should be bashing that kind of virtuous goal. It's been that way before, not to say it's been pure and 100%, but it's been one of the goals that so many people have fought and died for, and given us a country that we could live in that had so many wonderful freedoms. And I prefer not to see tyrants take that back, especially when they think they can do things more and more audaciously. They can clamp down on things like FOIA and keep things that are legally required to be shared hidden, and that years can go by before people are able to assemble the truth, just working their darndest, and then to have to live with the idea that everyone thinks that's old news. Well, let me think. Those are devices that people have thought long and hard about, just like these CIA guys in 67 writing a little memo saying, I think it'd be good to deprecate the term conspiracy theorist. Think of what we could get away with if we didn't have people being able to stand in the town square with all these freedoms and comment about what the news media are bringing around, the town crier or whatever. Those freedoms were set forth in our Constitution, and I see how wonderful they are in many instances, and I want to see that returned to as best possible. Maybe there are even better things that eventually can happen. That is, we went from Magna Carta to the U.S. Constitution. Maybe in the bright future, Job has a bigger family and even more wives and children, that kind of thing. That is, I'm hearkening to the story of Job in the Bible, that just because things look bleak at a certain point in time don't mean they couldn't be better even in the future. So I look forward to actually a lot of good things in the future, and I want to live that way.
Yeah, and I think we all do. And you know what? The compilation of the evidence that you put together, this is a gift to any investigator or to anyone interested in getting at the truth. Is there anyone left? Is there anyone left? Because exposing this will expose the larger events, and I truly believe this. Anyone who has uttered the phrase, "Well, man, I wonder if Hillary is," it looks like two different people, or you know, it's possible they could be a body double, or anyone who's ever expressed that there said that there was something wasn't right about the Hillary Clinton candidacy. Anyone who's expressed
yeah, it goes well beyond that. But this marriage of government and media,
yep,
that has become so prevalent in our society today, shuns any and everybody who has an independent thought and an ulterior version of events, regardless of where that stands in truth, based on how it will affect the overall political system's image and the people who run the world's
he
image.
He just gave you the playbook, though.
Right.
I mean,
right.
The practical aspect of this is, here it is.
Exactly. And this should be a template for how we look at and go through all of these strange occurrences and, you know, coincidences from, you know, odd deaths to how campaigns are brought down through, you know, cheating and fraud. And
well,
it's just
we see lots of.
Go ahead.
We see lots of activities from government that go in this direction. You know, mob rule kinds of things, just deciding to pay out to certain farmers $2.3 billion in payouts, deciding to punish conservative activists via the IRS to haunt or chase after Scooter Libby with a huge legal expense. And so on and so forth. All of these things, like every facet of political correctness, is meant to chip away at our freedoms. And these people, like with the Gorelick Wall, you know, to set up a difference between intelligence and law enforcement so that we can't fight this as if it were a concerted effort or even if you say a small conspiracy or we're fighting terrorists. No, we've been given to understand that we have to fight criminals. That is, we don't know what his motivation is. We don't treat it as a bigger picture item. We can only go at this with the police enforcement type approach. All of these things are put forth by people who are in government in a concerted fashion, trying to limit our freedoms. And it's happening again and again and again. So we have to have effective ways of countering that don't turn us into tyrants. You know, people would accuse some people who want to go in these good directions as, you know, with various pejorative names and being their own tyrants and so forth. But that's not the case at all. So I think there's a difficult thing sometimes for people to make these discernments. And frankly, they are discriminations. That is, we need to discriminate. We can't believe that discriminating has become a pejorative term that we must push aside every time. It's just like conspiracy theorists. You want people who can deal with conspiracies and get behind the truth. We don't want to push away that goodness that's involved with those things.
Amen to that. Rex, thank you for your gift of time these two nights, the incredible sacrifice you and your colleague have made to bring forth the evidence of corruption, the evidence of a conspiracy here. I don't think anyone can doubt that. And even if it was 10%, even if you are wrong on 90%, which you're not, I don't believe you are, but even if 10% is accurate, then we must ask the question, why? Well, the why, I believe, is to hide at the very top of our government, to hide the not just the identity, but the pedigree and the bias, inherent bias, of the leadership at the top. And you're right, the audacity of this particular complex conspiracy is because they can do it, and they're testing the waters in a lot of ways. You're absolutely correct in all of this. But Rex, thank you so much. I would urge anyone with any comments positive, that is, any desire to help Rex, his email, thefuddyhoax@unseen.is. Rex, do you have any closing statement?
Well, there's so much more that could be said. let me just say that this was clearly a planned event. We have things such as military divers on scene within seconds. We see an engine replacement. We see the videographer. We see no one batting an eye when the object of so much attention in the scenario is replaced by someone else. All of this speaks planned action. And also the false representations to place events outside of this quarter-mile boundary that the Kalawao County had is only able to be understood when you say that then people who would have responsibility to take testimony, to investigate, and do various things didn't have to. And so things actually happened a lot closer for the passenger's safety, for example. But all the representations were that this was on the open ocean and a mile and a half out there kind of thing, just so these people wouldn't have to investigate. There's planning, to be sure, in all of that. And then there's cover-up. All of these editing of sounds and pictures and so forth, what we've covered here is just a small piece of that. There's a lot more. And it's all consistently in the wrong direction. And, I mean, I could talk about so much more evidence, and hopefully it will come out in an appropriate venue where people who are interested in true justice will deal with this. Now, I'm not interested in awakening unrighteous justice or people who want to maliciously prosecute this or that like they were able to with Scooter Libby. That's just not useful and appropriate at all. But if people are interested in justice, there's a story here that needs to be exposed and corrected.
Amen, brother. Thank you again for your gift of time. We're going to cut you loose. God bless you. We got just a few minutes left of our program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the incredible presentation and hard work you put into this.
Yes. Folks, that was Rex and the Fuddy Hoax at unseen.is. The Fuddy Hoax at unseen.is. And I just want to remind everyone as well, a portion of this broadcast brought to you by Casper.com/CFP Radio. That's Casper.com/CFP Radio. In the closing minute or two we've got left, Joe, we've got riots taking place in Charlotte. We've got a number of things. We've got the admission by the State Department that they're secreting or they're allowing terrorists into the refugee population to come into this country. You've got
we have
economic news, war news. You got election news. I mean,
we only got a few minutes before the end of the program, but let's do this. Let's go through some of the important news. There is still information coming about the Charlotte shooting.
Yep.
Apparently, it was said that this man had his hands up and he was shot with his hands up. Apparently, there's some conflicting reports about that. I have not seen the video, so I don't want to comment on this either way without looking at this myself. But regardless, there have been reports of unrest and, you know, riots and protests in the streets where this happened. And but one man was killed during the protest tonight by being shot in the head with a tear gas round, a protester. So things are heating up.
But does that give them the reason or the motive to go into Walmart and take a
absolutely
iPad
not.
Absolutely or a TV
not.
Or what?
And we already have gone through the statistics where more white people are killed by police officers than black people. And, you know, and all these different statistics, which I guess the bottom line is, and it doesn't matter anymore, if a police officer kills a black man, whether he's armed, whether he's, you know, in the commission of a violent crime, whether it be rape, murder, robbery, and is killed in that crime, it is now the status quo for the community to back up against this, you know, criminal. And in some cases, they're not all criminals. There are a lot of people who are shot by police on both sides of the aisle, unnecessarily and without cause. But it seems that the black community, for whatever reason, and there's a lot of them, I say whatever reason because pick your reason today, but they're up in arms and very upset about this. So we're going to continue to monitor those developments. Also, in case you missed it, the Manhunt for the Manhattan bomber, according to some, was racist. And I think I put that up on Hagman Report today.
And I'll say Joe, I'm absolutely convinced. Do not tell me that this man did this in a vacuum. Don't tell me that he was the only conspirator, only perpetrator in this. Absolutely not. I
mean the New York? No, it's come out, actually. The father reported him to the FBI twice after the FBI had denied knowledge that they were on his radar. Here it is, FBI lies again. NYC bomber was on the FBI radar after two calls from the father claiming he was a terrorist. Also, separate news. The more about what Obama has said from the UN, rumblings Hillary Clinton may cancel the debate on Monday.
Yep.
As well as...
surprise.
Yeah, there is... State Department admitted the Islamic State terrorists are trying to pose as refugees, in their own words, to come in for invasion. We'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Michael Lake, followed by a strong performance Friday by Dr. Ted Brewer. Not going to want to miss these shows. Till tomorrow.